Amen. God bless you, Brother Chris. Thank you. And definitely the Father's arms are open wide this morning. I hope that you know that, believe that. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. And when you have found that verse, I want to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning, beginning in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, and through the end of the chapter. Follow along in your copy of God's Word or on the screens behind me. John said, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one else knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh." Let's pray together. Father, as we continue our study of your word in the book of Revelation, I pray, Father, today for just a few moments for us to clear our minds and for you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that are receptive to your word. And thank you, Lord, that we are promised that it will not return void. And so through your word and through your spirit, would you have your way in our lives over these next few moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. If you were here last Sunday morning, Brother Ronnie shared with us a message from the first half of Revelation 19 entitled, "Here Comes the Bride." And the reason for that title is because the first half of Revelation 19 is about, according to verse 9 of Revelation 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll find that phrase in Revelation 19:9. And what that is referencing is the global body of Christ, the universal body of Christ, of every language and every skin color and every denomination, and of every period of history, being gathered together with the Lord Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so again, here comes the bride. Well, I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, "And Now Here's the Groom." And now here's the groom. Because we're continuing to talk about this marriage supper. By the way, brothers and sisters, please don't skip over, please don't miss the imagery of marriage here. Please don't miss the imagery of marriage that is intentional, that is from God in describing this salvation relationship between Christ the groom and his bride, the church. And specifically what I want you to notice is that God's design for marriage is never two grooms. And God's design for marriage is never two brides. And that is completely contradictory to what the world will tell us today. But if we are wanting to be as biblical as we can be, and if we're wanting to hear from God what His plan and what His design is, then notice what He says marriage is one man and one woman, one groom and one bride. This imagery of marriage. And so as we think about end times chronology, and we think about big events that are spoken of in God's Word, as we have studied the book of Revelation, by the way, we'll actually finish this study of the book of Revelation on the first Sunday in June. And I am fully aware that that is less than a year, and that is probably too fast for some of you in the congregation this morning. And certainly we could have spent weeks and weeks and weeks speculating on signs and symbols and mysteries, but it would simply be that. Speculation. But we will draw this study to a close in the coming Sundays. But we have seen in weeks past, I believe, that sometime after Revelation 3 and before Revelation 7, that you will have the rapture of the church. That is the Lord Jesus coming for all of those born again believers alive at that time. Again, coming for them. And after the rapture of the church and beginning in Revelation chapter 7, you will find the beginning of a 7-year earthly tribulation, where for 7 years, demonstrated through seals and trumpets and bowls, God's judgment on the sin of unbelief. However, at the beginning of that tribulation period, the world and even the church will see things as going well. It will seem as if all is well because Babylon, that system of belief and her influence going far and wide, will have deceived many. Again, in thinking that everything is okay. And then, halfway through that seven-year tribulation, after the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist. The Gentile Antichrist, that beast of the sea, will rise up declaring himself to be God and requiring allegiance from all of the world, and he will destroy Babylon, that system of belief. Again, requiring worship and allegiance to him and him alone. And Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that that final 3.5 years of the earthly tribulation will be the most severe persecution that Christianity has ever known. That tribulation period will come to an end with the return of Christ. And that's what we're going to see today. We're going to see the return of Christ. Jesus not returning for his church, but Jesus returning with his church. And happening closely, we will also see in just a few moments what is often referred to as the Battle of Armageddon. And so today, as we think about the groom, I want you to notice beginning in verse 11, you find really the outline of today's sermon, and it's at the end of verse 11, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. So two observations that I want to share with you first of all this morning. The groom will return to a wedding to judge unbelief. The groom will return to a wedding to judge unbelief. Look at verse 11. Now I saw heaven open and behold. So we're about to see the groom's appearance. And this appearance begins with this white horse. And if you know anything about first century Roman history, the conquering Roman general would oftentimes ride through town on a white horse, demonstrating his victory over those who fought against him. And that's what you see here, beginning in verse 11, the groom coming on a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Now, have we heard some of this language previously? Well, as a matter of fact, we have. Turn back to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and I want you to notice specifically as it relates to the fact that the groom was called Faithful and True. Listen to Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is what? True. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Skip down to verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And so we've heard about someone previously who was also called Faithful and True. Back in Revelation 19, verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire. Well, that sounds familiar too. Listen to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. Back in Revelation 19, his eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, demonstrating his authority. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Well, that sounds familiar. Listen to Revelation chapter 2 in verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Back in Revelation 19, verse 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Now, whose blood was this? Some have said, well, it's the blood of those that he conquered. Well, that hasn't happened just yet. And so I would suggest to you this morning, my belief is that his robe dipped in blood is the robe of the tribulation saints. It's the robe of the tribulation saints because not only do we see the groom's appearance here in Revelation 19, but beginning on verse 14, we see the groom's accompanists. Notice verse 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and pure, followed him, the groom, on white horses. So not only do you have the groom parading through town on this white horse, signifying his coming conquest, but you also have his accompanists, these armies in heaven. And language used to describe these armies, language that we've seen previously, fine linen, white and clean. Who are these armies? I found great help this past week in the MacArthur Study Bible. As John MacArthur lets us know that these armies are the raptured church, the tribulation saints, as well as Old Testament saints, and perhaps even angels joining with the groom as his accompanist. And what was their activity? Verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. Well, I think we've heard that before. Back in Revelation 1, listen to verse 16. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. So back in Revelation 19, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. That's familiar language, brothers and sisters. Go back to Revelation chapter 14. Look at verse 20. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. Your translation may read in verse 15, not the wrath of God, but the anger of God. Why was God so angry? I want you to hear me this morning. God is angry at the sin of unbelief. God is angry at the sin of unbelief. And that sin of unbelief is manifested when we reject Jesus Christ, God's Son, as our Lord and Savior. God is angry over the sin of unbelief because it is the rejection of His Son that He sent to die on the cross for our sin and in our place. And when we say no to him, it is a slap in his face. I've provided for you, and yet you do not receive it. Verse 16, and he has on his robe and on his thigh. It's a great question there. Did Jesus have a tattoo? Maybe. Maybe not. That's what the text says. I don't have a tattoo. I'm not commending you get a tattoo. I'm just trying to be faithful to the text. He has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is this groom called Faithful and True? Who is this groom in verse 13 called the Word of God, referencing John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is this groom called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in verse 16, but also in chapter 17 and verse 14, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. This groom is none other than Jesus the Christ. And He has come back. He has returned, not for His church, but with His church on the pages of Scripture here in Revelation chapter 19. He has come to a wedding to judge unbelief. And so I need to ask you this morning, friends, would He judge your unbelief today? Are you here this morning and you have said no to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you said no to receiving Him into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life? Are you living your life under the umbrella of unbelief, saying no to God, to what He has offered to you? I invite you today to leave your unbelief and put your belief and faith and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord. He is the only one that can save. He is the only one that can forgive sin. He is the only one that can provide for you a home in heaven. But not only is the groom returning to a wedding to judge unbelief, the groom will also return to a war to judge the unholy Trinity. The groom will return to a war to judge the unholy Trinity. Look at verse 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of the horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beasts, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against Him who sat on the horse, the groom that we now know is Jesus the Christ, and against His army. Well, what war is this? Turn back to Revelation 16. Revelation chapter 16, beginning in verse 12, is the foreshadowing of what we're realizing now here in Revelation 19. Revelation 16, beginning in verse 12, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. the Valley of Megiddo. Jesus, the bride, is returning to this war to judge the unholy Trinity. Notice this carnage. This war is carnage in verse 17. In my mind, I'm envisioning what today we might call vultures or buzzards. The angel cries out in verse 17 to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, and what a gruesome picture in verse 18. Did you know that God has created some 23 different types of vultures? And scientists tell us that the acid that is in a vulture's digestive system is strong enough to kill anthrax, to kill botulism, to kill cholera, diseases that would kill us, the vulture, the buzzard, can eat and be unharmed. Some vultures have the ability to see a carcass 4 miles away. And here in verse 18, there is carnage all around. From kings and captains and mighty men and horses. But not only is there carnage, verse 19 speaks of some captives. John says, and I saw the beast of the sea, the Gentile Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together for the battle of Armageddon. But not just the beast, look at verse 20, also with him the false prophet. The false prophet who worked alongside with the beast. Now, if you'll remember, that unholy trinity is Satan masquerading as God the Father, the Antichrist masquerading as God the Son, and the false prophet masquerading as God the Spirit. And so the groom is returning to a war to judge the unholy Trinity. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped him image. And look at the end of verse 20. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. That is the final hell, brothers and sisters. Because that is the eternality of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Eternity in the lake of fire. And then finally in verse 20, we've seen this carnage of the war and captives of the war, but notice the conquest of the war. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. The groom is returning. And he's returning with his church. And he's returning with his church to a wedding to judge unbelief. I pray this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that you are not guilty of unbelief. But he is also returning to a war. He's returning to a war to judge the unholy Trinity. But don't forget about the rest in verse 21. The rest, those who were following the Antichrist. The rest, those who were following the false prophets. The rest, those who were deceived to get the mark of the beast. And can I just say to you this morning, if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, you, as it relates to God and His judgment, you right now are a part of the rest. Now, I know this is future, and I know that this is thinking in the future. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, then you're guilty of the same sin as the rest. So I invite you today to quit trusting in yourself, quit trusting in your finances, quit trusting in your intelligence, quit trusting in your family tree. Whatever you're trusting in to earn the favor of God, it won't work. It's not going to happen. We are incapable of gaining the favor of a holy God because we are unholy people. And this morning, after I finish praying, in just a moment, I'm going to be standing here at the front, and Brother Ronnie's going to be standing here at the front with me. And today, I would invite you to turn from your unbelief and turn from your rejection of Christ. And call on the name of the Lord to save you. Brother Richard, this is the future. You're right, it's the future. But you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so why not receive the gift of salvation this morning as it has been offered and extended unto you? Here comes the bride. And now comes the groom. Let's pray together. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, after I finish praying, Brother Chris is going to come and lead us. We'll be standing and singing all across the auditorium. A very familiar song of commitment and of decision. And if today you would respond to the preaching of God's word and to the invitation to trust Christ as Savior and Lord for the very first time, I would invite you to step out in one of the aisles closest to where you're sitting. Make your way here to the front. Come and greet me or greet Brother Ronnie and say, today I want to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord of my life. And we'll celebrate with you and we will pray with you, and we will welcome you, and we will counsel with you, and we'll rejoice of you turning from unbelief and turning to Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a guest. God's Spirit is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church, a church that believes that God's design for marriage is one man and one woman, one groom and one bride. A church that believes that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's not one of many ways, He's the only way. A church that believes that the book of Revelation, even in all of its symbolism and figurative language, is God's inerrant and infallible word. The Spirit of God within you is leading you to unite with us this morning, formally and officially, with church membership. We would welcome you today. Maybe you need to come here, kneeling at the front, praying. Maybe you need to come asking for prayer with me or Brother Ronnie. We would love to pray with you. Our invitation will be for you to respond to God's word. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for your love for us. And we're grateful and thankful that week after week after week, you extend your mercy to us. You demonstrate your patience with us. You show us you love us. But yet there, Lord, is coming a day. There's coming a day when the groom, the one who is faithful and true, the Word of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, will return to judge unbelief. There's coming a day when He will return to judge the unholy Trinity and the rest. Lord, may we not be in that group. And may today, any within the sound of my voice who have rejected Christ as Savior, I pray that they would receive Him as Savior today. You'd guide and direct our church members as they make commitments to Christ. Guide and direct our guests as they make commitments to Christ. And Lord, let us live each day in anticipation of your return. We love you and we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, would you come today responding to our invitation as Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front ready to welcome and greet you.